Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back, and I presume that everybody has survived the Memorial Day weekend and hopefully recognize those who have given the ultimate for our liberties. Anyway, this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. As you know, if you go there, if you don't know, if you're a new listener, because we are a growing program, if you're a new listener, if you go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, I have a plethora of content as well as at MobiusStripPress.com. I'm trying to separate and isolate the type of content. My articles, books, and so forth are on Mobius Strip Press. And the basic details and what you need to know about Republic Review and Reclaiming the Republic is on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. You are listening to the only show on air that asserts a constitutional solution to getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution. There is no other show that is supporting that. There may be shows that are talking about the Convention of States or shows that are talking about the status quo, that we're going to educate people and we're going to change the electorate and change our culture. Just remember, it took Moses 40 years to change the culture of Israel to prepare them to go into the Promised Land. We do not have that time to change our culture nor to compete with, because keep in mind, Moses had unattested access. I mean, he basically had full access to Israel, where he didn't have the mainstream media, the national indoctrination centers, which we call, or which we refer to as those, but that's actually the education system, where they have a monopoly on the narrative of communism, so forth. And so, I mean, there's a night and day difference between what we have to deal with today and what Moses had as they were wandering through the desert. So, the number to call in, if you would like to talk about the Constitution and or things that are relative to the show, Reclaiming the Republic, I don't know, got some personal issues. I think maybe Ann Landers might be on somewhere. But anyway, the number to call in here would be 215-867-8255. That is 215-TOP-TALK. As most of you know, and those who are new to the show, this show is dedicated in supporting the election of state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. In addition, this show is also dedicated to the county grassroots leaders, such as the county chairs and their organizations, the central committees for both the Republican Constitution and the Libertarian parties, because those three parties adhere to and believe that the Constitution needs to be followed and complied to. What this means is my focusing on these grassroots leaders and the election of these who are committed to saving us from federal tyranny, what this means is that we're helping them so that they can actually protect all of us from federal tyranny. Because when one stands up against federal tyranny, it creates a domino effect, or it creates an umbrella effect, excuse me, for all of us. And so I just want you to understand, these are the people that we really have to rely on. These are the leaders, today's Madisons, Rufus Kings, and so forth, that are going to actually protect us and pull back the federal government from all of its encroachments. There is no other way of doing this, folks, because if you think that some other process might actually do it, the hurdles are way too high. And the reason why this is so easy, or this is the path of doing this, is because once I have one state, once one state stands up, other states start recognizing, you know, are you kidding me? We actually possess the authority? Yes, the states possess the authority. It is inherent in their positions as being the parties of the Constitution. It is inherent to those principal stakeholders, which is the states, to be able to audit their contract, which is the Constitution. I do have a lot of content that I wanted to go through. And I also wanted to kind of give you, because I've been talking about the New York ratification debates. And even though Hamilton was a part of it, and even though they're a very voluminous set, there is a real lacking in the documentation which is available to me. I'm thinking about calling the University of Wisconsin and begging them for a used copy of their DHRC, which is the documentation history of the ratifications of the Constitution. They basically pull out every single document. They did all the research that anybody could do in an academic forum. And I don't know what their costs are, but if you're looking for a Father's Day gift for me, I would take that set with open arms, and I would be indebted to whomever did that. But anyway, let me move on. I've got, like I said, I've got a lot of content of the New York ratification. Actually, I'm going to give you some contrast with the Virginia ratification comments as well to just show you the difference of the level of information and how they covered the data in examining the contract or the Constitution in New York versus in Virginia. Literally a night and day difference. And it speaks to why we had our first five presidents, out of our first five presidents, how many of them, let me see, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, and then we had Adams' son. So we had two from Massachusetts out of the first six, and the other four were Virginians. And it kind of helps you understand why Virginia was so active and a leader in the Republic for a while, because they really had a full understanding. There was a lot of people that leaned on them. They were the leaders in creating the Constitutional Convention. I mean, that was Madison. He was working, I think he worked 2-3 years to get Washington and other critical people on board. Washington was the most critical because he knew if Washington wasn't going to show up, then it would probably fail. So having Washington as a part of the Constitutional Convention was critical. And his contact with Yates, I'm going, not Yates, who was the artillery general underneath Washington that ended up getting relieved because a lack of performance, but they were very close friends. I forget. But they were also, he was a member of the Cincinnati. Help me out here. Anyway, it was that general that actually sent Washington a letter and said, hey, the Cincinnati is going to always be here, but the Republic may fail. And it is far more important that you go there and be a part of the Constitutional Convention than you worrying about your membership with this aristocracy known as the Cincinnati. And so that was the pivotal letter. And Madison was the one that was responsible for pursuing that letter. But anyway, I think it's more important that I start groveling at this point so that you understand that I do need support. I need help. This is not about money, and I'm not here asking you to open up your wallets for me. I will be asking you in the near future to, you know, quickly and randomly and often open up your wallets so that we can get some of these really critical legislators elected. What I do need is I need help. I need help. If you've got a computer, if you've got literacy resources, I can't do this alone. So I have a Tom Laporte down in Southern California that is learning, and on his website, he's promoting Republic Review. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to clone myself or at least do a mind meld so that he can start speaking eloquently about Republic Review. There's another radio show host in Southern California named Douglas V. Gibbs. He supports Republic Review as well, trying to get him on board to that same level so that he can kind of answer the questions and actually speak to it. And the reason being is as this actually takes off, if we get Wyoming to stand up, then there's going to be a need for other people to understand this to the same. I mean, this isn't about being paid, you know, to become the representative. This is literally having local people that are constitutional warriors in understanding the Constitution and these principles of contractual law, auditing the Constitution, and so forth, and understand the mechanics and the mechanisms of republic review. It's not that hard. This is not rocket science. I mean, I was able to figure this out. So looking for people that can help and actually start becoming champions at the local level. I've got a few, some in Idaho here and there. And so if you are willing to help, then hit me up on Facebook, send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I need people in every state to become a representative and champion. And who knows, maybe someday we'll break bread together. And if I'm not already outed, I'll tell you what GR stands for. But anywho, let me move on. As I always do in preparing for this show, I actually scanned the news. I looked high and low, and I still saw no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Therefore, we are still living under tyranny, my friends, which means that it is up to you and I to actually solve this problem. And we have to convince our leaders. There are only 5,445. That's it. Those are the only people that we need to educate and get them on board. If they aren't on board, then we need to replace them. And that's what we're going to do in Wyoming, is get them on board or support those who will get on board. That being said, as you can tell, I'm up at the hard break. I am out of time for this segment, and I will have a couple of short promos and a commercial, and I will be right back, I promise you, and we will have the New York ratification debates when I come back. Thank you so much. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? As you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after moving into this area. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a great patriot and a dentist who cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I'm trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Now, are you ready? Are you ready to get involved? Because, again, I'm groveling. I could use your support. Because the federal government is not going to ever give up any of these unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers. Even if Trump gets rid of the education EPA and maybe one other bad department, the next president and the next set of Congress will allow it to happen, and we will be faced with the exact same level, if not even worse, tyranny. And that's what it is. We're living under, it is so bad that people really don't even realize it. It is the boiling of the frog, and we're about done. Anyway, I do have a question. It's a standing question, and anybody that can answer this question, you get a set of signed books from me. What or where in the Constitution gives the federal government the authority to create and manage land for the purpose of a reservation, whether that be a forestry, whether that be for agriculture, environmental, for whatever purpose, even for people and cultures and races such as the Alaskans or the indigenous Native Americans, whatever you want to call them, all these different types of reservations. Where is that in the Constitution for them to be able to use state land in doing this? So I would love to, you know, have somebody call and say, hey, you know what? I'd like to answer that. And I will let you do that. And then I'll get your information off air. And that way we can get a set of books to you. Anyway, as I want you to know, we'd still have opportunities for the Red Pill Expo out in Spokane. And that is the 21st to the 23rd of June. Go to redpillexpo.org. That's where you can do all the due diligence and looking at what's going to happen. It's going to be a big event. And I would say that you would look at the price of the tickets and go, wow. But that's almost like, what would you pay to go to a three-day festival like Woodstock or what have you? Those types of things cost a lot of money. And if you understand the type of people that they're coming in and the cost of the facilities and so forth, it takes a lot of money to tie those things in. So this is a very big venture that is happening from Freedom Force International. I would like to invite you and come up. Who knows, I may be there and we may be able to meet. We will hopefully be able to meet. But let me move on. In the news, and one of the only, there's lots of things in the news. And again, like I liken what's going on in this nation, in our republic, as this huge train station with hundreds of trains all coming into the train station all at the same time from all these different directions. And none of them have brakes. And the switching system can't manage or accommodate. This is just going to be one calamity with carnage. People just can't stop looking. They just get so enthralled with this little thing, that little, you know, car twisting, these people hurt, this is happening. It is a bad accident, and we are just so compelled, we are so enamored in watching this accident continue. It is more important that we begin to focus on being productive in providing the solution instead of being focused in the entertainment or the carnage, the accident, whatever you want to call it. The reason I say this is there's no way we can fix the problem unless we actually start focusing on the issue at hand, and that is all of the unconstitutional powers being exercised by the federal government. So anyway, the one thing that came up in the news today that struck me that I want to share with you, because this goes down to the Constitution. How many people do you know, even maybe you, that are really passionate about abortion? It's murder, you know, there's no doubt about it. When does inception occur? And so forth. I'm not even arguing. I support stopping abortion. I support states actually taking control and actually having, you know, a very good vetting process instead of these abortion mills. They're even worse than puppy mills. And even puppy mills becomes an issue. But focusing on abortion, the Supreme Court was confronted because there has been a challenge against this new strict Arkansas law that the legislation has passed and has been signed and is moving forward. SCOTUS decided to pass on this. And so this is one of those things that becomes another application of the, quote, whims, unquote, of the court. We are being subject to the whims of the court, and this has to stop. What the court should have done, what Supreme Court should have done, is said, you know what, we're looking to the Constitution, and there is nowhere in here where it says anything about abortion, right of choice, or whether we manage the births of people or anything like that. We have no jurisdiction over this matter. This is a state issue. If a state chooses to have these types of laws, then it is up to the state instead of basically passing, because once the court demographics or the population of the court changes again, well, then somebody's going to come up and go, oh, well, we're going to undo that law. It's jurisdiction, my friends. The federal government has no jurisdiction in abortion, healthcare, education, environmental, energy, on and on and on. Those are all outside their scope. Show me the Constitution where we delegated them the ability to manage those issues. It doesn't fall underneath the Commerce Clause. It doesn't fall underneath the Supremacy Clause, Necessary and Proper, or even the General Welfare and Defense Clause. Those clauses, as Madison succinctly and clearly put it, those clauses only apply to the enumerated powers within the Constitution. And therefore, we have been thrown again, and I know the conservatives are loving this, and oh, the Supreme Court is supporting this. No. What they did was they took a pass on it instead of saying, we have no jurisdiction. Because as soon as they did that, then every other state in the Republic would go, oh, you hear that? They have no jurisdiction. And that's the accurate thing that they should have done. But that would be giving up their tyrannical power. And there is it is the antithesis of a monster to just give up its power willingly. You have to take that back. That's why I say it is up to us. If we're not doing it, then it ain't going to happen. Anyway, as I always say, and I want to repeat this, if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles each time. The only defense we have that can save us is the Constitution, and the only weapon that will destroy our enemies and their agenda is the Constitution. Now, as I promised, I'm going to give you my endorsements in North Dakota. Zip. That's it. I have none. I might have been able to pick some up had I had some help. But in reaching and trying to reach out to six states, and the real problem is that they stack all of these right after the wintertime. And I'll be honest with you, I was really caught off guard at how fast these primaries were occurring. One would have thunk that the primaries would have been far later into the summer, so that the electorate would actually be able to vet who's moving forward, because in most cases, the primary settles the election. And in most of these states, that is a hands down, it's a done deal. You call anybody in Idaho, you call anybody in the Nebraska or Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, most of these really red states, even the blue states, whoever wins the primary, if it's a really stronghold for the Republicans or the Democrats, that's it. Whoever wins that, there, because people vote the slate. I remember in that one interview I did with that gal that talked about the slate and so forth, she goes, no, that's not how it happens. Well, I can see how it works. I can see the outcome because it very rarely does somebody actually, I mean, you have to find this person killing babies or something to, you know, get this person unseated because it, people vote down the party line when it comes to these positions. Maybe not on the issues, because you will find people saying, hey, you know what? I'm a progressive, but I don't like paying more taxes. That affects me personally, and they'll shut down taxes. So I can get that. I understand on the issues it can go one way or the other, but on usually the individuals and representation, it goes down the slate. Anywho, it's unfortunate we couldn't get anybody in North Dakota to become aware and a part of the solution. But that being said, I'm at a hard break, and I will have to be back after a couple of announcements and a advertisement. We'll be right back after this, folks. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And as I'm going to dig in, as I like to do, and I think this is really important that I always lead this off, but before I get into my usual little diatribe or dialogue, I want to give you a contrast from those who claim to be the front benchers, those self-acclaimed leaders of conservative thought that are competing with me at this time or different times and so forth. They're just conservative entertainers. They're not here really trying to go through the nuts and bolts of the Constitution and trying to educate you and making you a constitutional warrior so you have the personal epiphany that you understand that the Constitution, one, is a contract, that it is a limited contract that locked down the federal government to very specific enumerated powers, that the Bill of Rights was a nugatory set of powers against the federal government, and that what we need to do, because inherent in contract law, and the contract is owned and controlled by the states, because Article 7 it didn't give the president the ability to ratify the Constitution or amendments, nor did it give those powers to Congress, nor the Supreme Court. You will find that only the states have that ultimate sovereignty over the Constitution. Therefore, they have inherent privileges and authority over this Constitution to call for an audit of this Constitution. So, as I move forward, I just want to completely contrast all of these other conservative backbenchers, or they call themselves frontbenchers, but they're just wasting your time because they want to talk about the carnage of the big accident that is continuing to happen. And I am trying to instill upon you what you need to know so that we can actually stop this and actually dismantle this accident from continuing and actually make it so that we don't have, if you understand what I'm trying to do, I'm actually putting myself out of a job. Because we lose relevance if all of a sudden the federal government is complying to the Constitution. If they get their derrieres out of our education, out of our health care, out of all of these things they have no authority in, then what do we have to complain about? Well, all of our complaints move back to the states, and all these people on the national stage become irrelevant. All of these organizations that claim to be the champions of the Constitution become irrelevant. I am the threat. That's why I have enemies on both sides. I hope you understand this, because there's lots of people that do not want to see this happen. They're going to lose money. They're going to lose market share. They will be personally affected. I have actually come to that from professors when they realize that Republic Review and auditing the Constitution will stop the gravy train of billions of dollars moving into all of these higher education and even lower education systems, because the federal government will no longer have the ability to do that. That will strictly be put back upon the states. And let the states solve these problems of education. Let the states actually start doing their job instead of allowing the federal government. Most states want to do their job. It's because the federal government has been usurping these powers. So anyway, as I move on, this is my typical dialogue for you who are new to the show. Are the words that I'm going to read out of these founding documents, are these the words of deceit? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, the progressive colleges and professors, lawyers, politicians, and bureaucrats, the words of deceit? I will let you decide. But going into this, and I know I talked about this yesterday, but I kind of want to, if you actually go to the Avalon Project, I think it's Cornell University or whatever, just Google Avalon Project Constitution, and it'll take you to the page. And if you start looking for the ratification debates in the century, because they kind of divide all these documents, and there's a lot there. But if you go through the ratification debates and look up the New York ratification debates, and you kind of go through it, remember what I told you happened on July 2nd in New York. They received word that Virginia had ratified the Constitution, and they were just kind of going through these articles. And interestingly enough, on July 2nd, after they got that word, you'll notice that there were lots of moves for amendments. I mean, these guys had already had these ideas for amendments, but they knew that they had to start moving fast. So on July the 2nd, they had all of these moves, and then nothing happened, or at least there was no documentation of anything on the July 3rd or 4th. And then on the 5th, there were a couple of more amendments. And then on the 7th, a motion, and then nothing really happening on Tuesday, this 8th. Wednesday the 9th and Thursday the 10th. I mean, these were like, what were they doing? I think what they were doing was they were trying to basically go into personal discussions. Are you for this? Are you against this? And that is where I believe the real persuasion occurred, because they didn't document this. Now, I don't know about the DHRC out in Wisconsin. They may have a lot more information of who said what from different journals and so forth, but this is just the official journal that they met and adjourned, they met and adjourned, they met and adjourned, and that was it. And so it just proves the point that Virginia was the giant, or I should say the David that stood up to Goliath kind of situation, and it got them to stand up as well. Because most people said, you know what, that's just going to be us. It's just going to be us in stupid Rhode Island and South Carolina. I mean, come on. I think there was one other state that hadn't ratified. Because, let me see, Virginia was the 10th. No, there's three more. So it was New York, South Carolina, and Rhode Island. Those were the last three. Yep, there you go. So New York basically had this epiphany. Well, we better get on board with this, or we're going to have some problems, because they're going to be coming through us. And we may have a problem with that. So I honestly believe that Virginia ratifying the Constitution was the real pivotal moment in the ratification process. Because like I said before, when Virginia ratified the Constitution, or actually before Virginia ratified, they had their nine states already. How come they didn't start creating the federal government? Well, because Virginia wasn't on board. And they, without Virginia, they weren't going to have their preferred president, which would have been the beloved George Washington. He was the hands down going to become the president of the United States, because everybody loved George Washington. He won the Revolution. He was the epitome of the leader in executive. And so when Virginia hadn't ratified, that was actually brought up during the Virginia ratification debates, that they needed to be that because George Washington happened to be a resident of Virginia. Anyway, so let me get into one of the first things I want to get into is down here with Governor Clinton. This is kind of later on in the middle of the debates themselves. This is when Governor Clinton kind of spoke. And after he spoke, Hamilton got up and made some words. And I want to share this with you, because this is the banter that these men had back in those days. And this is what Clinton said. The gentleman has attempted to give an unjust and unnatural coloring of my observations. I am really at a loss to determine whence he draws this inference. I declare that the dissolution of the Union is, of all events, the remotest from my wishes. The gentleman may wish for a consolidated, I wish for a federal republic. The object of both of us is a firm, energetic government, and we both have the good of our country in view. Though we disagree as to the means of procuring it, it is not fair reasoning to infer that a man wants no government at all because he attempts to qualify it so as to make it safe and easy. Then Hamilton's retort is, I only rise to observe that the gentleman misunderstood me. What I meant to express was this, that if we argued from possibilities only, if we reasoned from chances, or we ungovernable propensities to evil, instead of taking into view the control which the nature of things or the form of the Constitution provided, the argument would lead us to withdraw all confidence from our fellow citizens and discard the chimerical idea of government. This is a true deduction from such reasoning. So this is the type of posturing and dancing that was occurring up in New York. Because Governor Clinton, remember, I mentioned yesterday, when they went to the ratification process in voting, Governor Clinton abstained. He didn't want to vote for, and he wasn't going to vote against, because he had actual desires to possibly be vice president or to be involved somehow in this new government. And he didn't want to slit his throat by voting one way or the other, so he just abstained. And with that, I'm out of time again. I've got another break, and we'll come up for the last segment. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And welcome to the last segment of the show. And actually, before I get into some more of these dialogues between these ratifying delegates in New York, I actually have a call. And so, hello, caller. I see a name, but 9 times out of 10, that is never who is actually calling. So who are you? Hello? Somebody's calling about how rapid our rights are being taken away. Oh, I'm sorry. Try to say, are you there?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. I actually had the volume down because of the... We're good now. I can hear you. You got a question?
Well, you know, what I've noticed is, you know, our government's always taking advantage of people, all right, of the citizens. And mm-hmm. that's kind of been throughout, you know, our history. But it seems like now, you know, they're playing for all the marbles, you know. I mean, it's getting to the point where, I mean, I believe our absolute freedoms and our way of life and our culture is at stake.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you feel?
Yeah,
do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. I completely agree. If we do not stand up and force the states to take back all of these roles. Because keep in mind, it is the federal government that is dictating how what type of light bulbs we use, how much our toilets can flush, and all of these types of things that are well outside their controls. It's the same thing with the types of fuels we use. And as a matter of fact, it is the government that has colluded with corporations, especially the energy departments, energy corporations, that have been selling us downriver. I talked about earlier how Hydro One was buying out Avista, which is going to affect Washington. It's going to affect Oregon, Idaho, Alaska, and Montana, five states. And they're going to basically fleece the customers in the Avista power energy and power production so that they can actually start bringing in revenue for Ontario to bolster up their hospitals and infrastructure systems. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. These public utilities are not supposed to be profit-based. People would be screaming a foul if all of a sudden the public utility was bolstering up our highway system and our hospitals and our education. They were never designed to do that, and they're going to allow this. Anyway, I'm starting to rant, but absolutely, we are losing our rights, and it's becoming the corporate America that is and has been selling us downriver for the interest of globalism.
You know, when you look at what's going on in D.C. right now, I mean, oh my gosh, you know, the DOJ is not turning over information. It's a big circle of we're going no place and we're losing our rights right and left. It seems to me Republic Review is the only way to go.
Right.
I mean, that's the only effective tool that we have to get some rights back and place, more power in the hands of the people and take away from government. Government is never meant to be huge and overtowering and extending over our lives. It's, it has a purpose, but it needs to be small.
And right.
The only way I can see is what you're talking about.
Right, right. Thank you. But to be to the point, if you understand that if one state can start this and one state can start calling out the federal government and all of these encroachments and then start sharing this with other states, just like Madison and Jefferson did during the 1798 Kentucky and Virginia resolutions, it will create a brush fire that will just spread across the landscape of America, because all of these flyover states will start realizing that we've all been duped and we have this power to actually take back our sovereignty. And so, yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't take a huge consensus. It literally just takes one state. So that's why I'm hoping as we get started in the Wyoming race and maybe some of these other races like Kansas and hopefully the Dakotas or what have you, that I can start getting legislators who are committing to Republic Review and the process in their legislative to actually call for these audits. Because if we can do this, if we can actually get this happening, then I've actually created the dialogue amongst the leaders within that power branch, the states, of getting them to recognize that they can stand up. So absolutely.
People don't feel like they have any power. They feel like their hands are tied, like there's absolutely nothing they can do to help the situation. As I recall, there was a woman back in the 60s that refused to sit in the back of the bus,
Right.
I mean, what stops us from, jumping on board here, contacting our legislators and telling them, hey, check this out, That's
right.
What we need to do. We need the voice of the people and to prompt the, the constituents to prompt, their elected leaders and make them stand up.
Right.
We have to do that.
Sure.
We're going down the tube and fast as a country.
Yes.
No question. Look what happened to that poor, kid, Tommy Robinson over there in England. Well, that's going to be us in 20 years if
In less than 20 years.
Yeah.
Because as these kids,
unless, we need to stand up.
Right. I say we have 2 to 3 years, maybe 5 years, depending on if Trump gets elected. But I will tell you that these communists that are coming out of the indoctrination centers of our national education system, they are going to be happy to be the ones to throw away their liberties so that they can inflict a level of sovereignty and a level of tyranny that, you know, you read about in the history books. And these kids have no idea what they're doing. They're just idiots that have never been given the alternate thought, because 9 times out of 10, when you start challenging what you've actually been taught, you start realizing the daylight, you know, that you've been in the dark room and that light bulb isn't the sun. Anyway, go ahead.
Know, they've placed their fate in the hands of the community, and that's absolutely wrong. We have to think these things out individually.
Right.
You know, you can't say, hey, just because the little white man shows up on the sign, you just walk right straight across the street after you push the button. You'll get run over. You got to look both ways.
You better still look. That's right. Right. Well,
yeah, you can't trust the system.
I've got about 2 minutes left, so I appreciate your call. Thank you so much. And thank you for the support. And I presume are you listening over? I've been meaning to ask the callers when they call in. Are you listening over the internet, or are you listening over terrestrial airwaves?
I'm listening over the internet.
Okay.
Red State Radio.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And please keep staying tuned. And you will hear when I start begging and pleading for candidates to get money, you can help contribute. It's just $5, $2, whatever you can. Thank you again for your call. Have a good day.
You bet, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And so let me thank that fine gentleman. I didn't ask for his name, but anyway, I wanted to actually get into a contrast, and I've only got 1 minute left. And so what you won't find in the ratification debates are good, solid quotes like this from James Madison. The powers of the federal government are enumerated. It can only operate in certain cases. It has legislative powers on defined and limited objects beyond which it cannot extend its jurisdiction. That right there is a legally binding statement said during the Virginia ratifications. And actually, I should look up the date for that. I have these quotes kind of pasted into another documents so that I, you know, grab them really quick. But being able to cite the exact day, then you can actually drill down. You can find this and go, oh my gosh, there it is. And that's why I tell you the ratification debates, my friends, are legal appendages, because they clarified the limitations. They clarified the scope of what the Constitution meant in one context or another. And so I want you to also understand that there have been plenty of really good quotes. And if you go to my reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to my RSTR, Red State Talk Radio podcast page, you can find a lot of the documents that I've gone through and talked about, even read. I'm not the best reader, but I will read through these things so that you actually hear verbatim while you're driving or sitting in your house. You too will be empowered, because knowledge is power. And with that, we're coming to the end for those who are actually listening on the terrestrial radio waves. And so we will be right back as soon as this out to break goes. Thank you for tuning in, those out there on the airwaves. And we will be back tomorrow for you. And stay tuned, folks, for those streaming on the internet. I will give you a highlight of what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And just like that, magically, they get cut off. They're going to station break and getting into the news cycle. So they'll have to tune in tomorrow to get more or further light and knowledge, as one might say. But I want to get in, and I'm going to tomorrow to actually do some more of the contrast of what Madison, Nicholas, and others have said in Virginia, and in contrast to what was being said in New York. And it goes to, like I have been saying this week, that New York really did not understand the Constitution, but there were a lot of arguments. And then once we get through these, I will actually start getting into the Pennsylvania and a few other ratification debates for you. And with that, folks, I am out of here. I'm G.R. Mobley. I am reclaiming the Republic with your help. I need your help. I can't do it alone. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow.